Welcome to I Caught It on Audio. This is Ride or Die Episode 16. DJ Harvey, Part 1.
Hello and welcome to I Caught It on Audio. Today we're going to be doing our Ride or Die podcast, and we've got a new band. We're going to be doing PJ Harvey. It's going to be a four-part series. And yeah, we're going to start at the beginning of our catalog, which I believe technically was with the PJ Harvey Trio. Let's just get right in it. What did you guys think of the album Dry?
It took a little while to grow on me. So I hadn't heard this before. I think I've heard Sheila Nagig, that yep. song, because that one seemed fairly familiar to me. But the rest of it, I was not at all familiar with.
And
what's that?
You exhibitionist.
You exhibitionist. That's correct. Yes. Very, very good line there. And I think this one had two singles, if I remember correctly.
Dress and Sheila Nagig.
Yeah.
Huh. But I only had one down. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. Go ahead.
Yeah. But after I really gave it the old college try and listened quite a few times, there are some really good ones that stand out here. I don't think it's a great album necessarily. I think it's definitely a debut album. Mm-hmm. It's definitely got the raw production quality about it, which is part of her thing anyway, which I'm totally yes. okay with. But I think overall, even though I did kind of warm up to it, it just didn't really strike me as, you know, there were these just huge songs that pulled me into them. The ones I liked, the opener, Oh My Lover, Dress was, mm-hmm. was kind of a fun, energetic single. The bass groove on Victory was pretty cool. Happy and Bleeding had some cool guitar parts and drumming, but I think overall this one,
in the lyrics.
Overall, this one just didn't really strike me as hugely important in the PJ Harvey repertoire. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, I really like this. I only know PJ Harvey mostly by singles and the occasional like listen. And I've never disliked anything I've heard from PJ Harvey. I just never dove in. So I never like took an album and just played it over and over and really got inside of it. But so this was basically, I think, brand new, this album. I don't think I don't remember any of these songs. It does sound like a, you know, based on the three full albums that we really listened to for this podcast, this is the most sort of simple, stripped down album. It's also mostly self-produced, I think. And of course, I don't think this was a big budget recording. So all that stuff makes sense. And it really does feel like a three-person band, which isn't always true later on. I mean, because it isn't, but because there's fuller stuff going on and more mm-hmm. varied sounds.
Yeah.
So there's not a ton of variety in the actual instrumentation. It's very sparse, I would say. The guitars are definitely like, there's a lot of guitars that fit in with the grunge sound. This came out in March of 92, which, you know, of course, was when it was all exploding. And this fits right in, even though it's not really grunge sounding, but the guitars definitely have that feel to it. She's got like, you know, her sort of signature, really intense, slightly weird vocals, you know, like she does very interesting mm-hmm. things. She shakes it up a little bit, but more so on later albums, I think. My favorite songs on this one were Oh My Lover, because I just felt like for a first song that you're going to hear from an artist, we just sort of like, it's the sort of, what would you call it? Like the sort of, the cliff notes. It's the cliff notes of what PJ Harvey is. It's just a guitar,
you got everything there mm-hmm. that tells her story all crammed yep. into one.
And she certainly does a fuller, more interesting, more varied version of it later. But that just sort of, you know what you're getting in for when you hear Oh My Lover. I also really liked Oh Stella, because it's more of a full band kind of version of that. Sheila Nagig, I thought was really good. I love the sort of sing-songy, wash this man right out of my hair line. I thought it was a really good like fuck off song for like some absolutely. Dick that she was like done with. She's like, no, fuck you, go away,
right?
And there's also some like cool like 5/4 songs like Hair and Water that add some like rhythmic wrinkles. I like Joe quite a bit. It was just super frenetic and, you know, like a really, really fast 3/4 thing. Thought that was really cool. But it certainly is less varied and full than the two albums that come after. Although I found it very easy to like right out of the gate, which is different than your experience, Zach. But maybe it's because you probably heard more PJ Harvey before coming in, so you had different expectations.
Yeah. My perception is a little bit colored by what comes later.
Yeah. But I found this very easy to like right out of the gate. Sometimes those albums don't hold up quite as well later on. Like it's the albums that you have to struggle a little bit with that really become your favorites. So I suspect that may happen, but it's too early to know for sure. Dave, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I didn't have a ton of exposure to PJ Harvey either. I mean, there's, you know, the big hit, Down by the Water. You know, that is one of my all time favorite songs. And then I've had plenty of PJ Harvey come up on my Google Music playlists, YouTube Music playlists, as a result of having that one, you know, making a playlist based on that. So I've actually heard quite a bit of these songs, but like you, Dan, I've never sat down with a full album and just listened to it straight through. Certainly not more than once before this, preparing for this podcast. But this one is very, very much a first album. It reminds me a lot of the White Stripes debut album, where it's it's very simple, great, like you said, grungy sound, and there's a decent amount of blues in it too. And it ticks all the box, I guess. And it's not perfect. There's some stinkers in it, and I think the production quality itself is lacking, largely because I don't think they have much experience in that field at this point. But it's a great first album, and it made me excited to hear where we were going to go from here. We've got a little bonus track here associated with this one, Naked Cousin. What did you guys think of that?
I'm super familiar with this song. Well, the not the demo version of it. So it was fun listening to this slightly different, a little bit rawer sounding one. But this was on the Crow City of Angels soundtrack, and I loved it.
See, I couldn't find that.
Yeah, soundtracks are really hard to find on streaming these days. But like I said, the demo of this is awesome.
It's so good.
It's a raw sounding, but it's still got the full, like it actually sounds better production than some of the stuff on this first album.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I think I don't know for sure, but I get the impression that she went back and reproduced all of these B-sides and rarities, you know, the stuff that was on soundtracks.
Yeah.
And brought it to, you know, modern technology, whereas I don't think Dry has received that treatment yet, which is too bad because it was released in this era, the early 90s, where nobody knew the transition between analog recording to digital recording was just, you know, we've talked about this in other podcasts where it just sometimes it didn't work out. And I think Dry was a victim of that and hopefully gets a proper remastering to bring out its true flavor. But yeah, I love that Naked Cousin track too. It's phenomenal. Dan, what'd you think of that one?
I thought it was pretty good. It definitely sounds like a B-side to me. Maybe I'm not quite as enthusiastic about it. I don't know if I remember it from the City of Angels, Crow City of Angels. I don't want to get anybody confused about which soundtrack
that's on. That's very different movies.
Yes. Maybe Sarah McLachlan covers this song. I don't know, but, it's you know, it's another PJ Harvey. It's like off kilter and weird, and you know that's what's kind of great about it. So I thought it was good. Nothing remarkable, but good.
All right. Then a short year later, we've got the follow up, which is Rid of Me. Zach, is this one that you had previously listened to?
No, it's a similar type of thing where I had heard some of the singles on it. What were the singles on this one?
This one was 50 Foot Queenie and Man Size.
Okay. Then no, actually, I don't think I heard those. I heard Rid of Me, and I think I heard maybe Mist before. I'm not sure exactly how or why, but those came up from something. But no, this one was completely brand new for me. This is still also the PJ Harvey trio again. Mm-hmm. And this one actually ended up being a little bit weaker for me than the first album. It didn't really have the growing effect. I think the thing that really put me off is there. I just feel like there's too much of the, like, the quiet verse and then loud chorus formula. She does it really well, but, right. and the especially on, you know, Rid of Me, I think it's great, but I think there's just a little too much of that going on throughout. A lot of the songs just didn't hit, in even lesser ways than the way that Dry was. I did like the, Man Size Sextet. It was a shorter song with, you know, the strings. I guess I was kind of really looking for a little bit more variety in the sound. And because I wasn't getting that, I was, you know, just sort of having a tough time with it. I liked the Dylan cover, the Highway 61 Revisited.
Yep.
I also really liked the closer, Ecstasy. I thought that was a cool bluesy, you know, slidey guitar thing going on with that. So, but overall, I think this one was a little bit weaker for me than the first one.
I liked this one. Also less than the first one. I have a feeling that it might grow on me, but I also think that the variance in the quality of the songs is higher. What I wrote down was, this one's harsher and creepier, has a more varied sound. It has actual rock songs, which makes sense because Steve Albini produced it. You can really hear that. I noted that in the song Mist, you can really hear the Steve Albini drum sound. Like, it almost sounds like it could be on In Utero, the mm-hmm. Nirvana album, which he produced. And that song is like, it's almost pretty. It's, you know, it almost feels like more of a traditional song and not as much of a PJ Harvey song, which is interesting for variety, but a little less distinctive. I mean, on a relative scale here, I mean, she's always quite distinctive. But I also noticed that you could hear the Albini guitar sound on Rub It Till It Bleeds. Rub It Till It Bleeds. That sounds like it could be a Nirvana song too, from that 93 era, because, you know, that's it makes sense because that's right when that album came out. So
absolutely.
The songs that stood out for me were Rid of Me. It sounds very much like a Dry song, but like it has the extra, like, going for it, Lick My Legs ending.
Yeah.
Which sort of just elevates it a little bit to like, whoa, she's really pushing it. Yeah. I read in my very half-assed research that she suffered from a nervous breakdown because of a bunch of different things. So she was at a really weird time, and you can kind of hear it. She's definitely just going for it, with the strangeness. I also like Man Size Sextet, like you mentioned, because it was mostly just dissonant strings and string-based percussion and stuff. I thought that was cool. It's really intense.
Did you guys like that one better than Man Size?
I think I did.
Yeah,
like the orchestral version of it better.
Yeah.
Than the
electric. I think I did. I also really liked 50 Foot Queenie. I thought that I really enjoyed the lyrics on that one. There's a few lines that cracked me up that I wanted to quick mention. Tell me your name. Tell you my name. Funck. I thought that was funny. I also liked. You come on and measure me. I'm 20 inches long, and that grows throughout the song. You bend over, Casanova. That cracked me up. I just thought it was great because she's like doing like a big dick song, but like from a female perspective, but in the terms that a big dick, like, dude who is like, you know, whatever, would kind of understand. She's like, nah, screw you, you know, like literally bend over, you know, like she goes from being a queen to a king by the end. I just thought that was you come on and measure me. I'm 50 inches long. I don't know. I love that song. I think that was the highlight of the record for me. So I think there's some real highlights that maybe go higher than Dry, but there's also some songs that it's like she's searching and trying to figure out some stuff, and she's trying some stuff, and some of it works and some of it doesn't. But I think this one might grow on me, but, you know, it didn't happen that way for you, Zach. So maybe it won't, but this one was harder to get into, but had some real highlights for me. Dave, what are your thoughts on this one?
I liked it. Again, it wasn't perfect. There were a few tracks that I didn't thumbs up. But I think I liked the four track demo, you know, which is the follow up release that I threw a few tracks on there that were recorded as a demo for this album. I think I liked all of those. Like, that was the best part of this album, was the songs that didn't make the album.
Yeah,
I thought they were really good. And maybe again, this is related to production quality. Yes, this, you know, Rid of Me is, you know, there's a step up from Dry, but it's still not perfect as far as production quality is concerned. And then the four track demo songs are very modern production, and you know, you get the full sound out of it. And I really liked those. Yeah, I liked it. Not perfect, but all in all, I thought it was good.
And one last thing I wanted to mention that I missed is that one of my last highlighted song for me, like highlight of the album, was Snake. I loved the sort of two syllable, you know, or two word delivery, repetitive, and I thought it was some really cool lyrics, using like biblical imagery and stuff, and another like fuck you song to some dude, you know. I thought that was really good. I thought the demos were fine. They felt like demos to me, which is true because it just sounds like her sitting in a room playing guitars. I thought they were all good. I like the sort of really rough and loose guitar playing, and there's some really cool slide guitar in Goodnight. And yeah, all good. They sounded a little like they were striving for something a little bit less, like, or trying sonic things a little bit less. Mm-hmm. But I liked them all. I didn't have any complaints. And same goes for the blues cover, the Willie Dixon blues. Yeah, that from the Peel Sessions.
Yeah,
also good. I mean, I didn't have any complaints. And honestly, I did not thumbs up some of the songs on Rid of Me, but I thumbs up all of the songs on Dry, and
did you?
The majority of them on, because the highlights aren't as high on Dry, I don't think, as Rid of Me, but there wasn't a song that I was like, you know, I don't like that. But there were a few on there at the same time, were a few on Rid of Me, but I think the good songs were better on Rid of Me.
I agree on the four track demos. I like the, how they're kind of stripped down, and just, I mean, they are very, very early versions of what songs could be.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention the Hardly Wait one. When I heard that, I was like, I've definitely heard this song before. Is she covering someone else? No, it turns out. So this was actually from the Strange Days movie soundtrack. That one that we keep talking about for some reason, that was produced by James Cameron, directed by Catherine Bigelow, and had Ralph Fiennes in it. It was actually covered by Juliette Lewis. Now, I don't know if it was written for the movie, or if it was, you know, what the background is on the song, but I think she actually sings it in the movie because she's like the front woman for a band. And so that was my exposure to that song, and coming to find out that it was actually a PJ Harvey written song was pretty interesting. And it makes me like it a little bit more, but it also kind of seems like she had a pretty really good song, and she kind of gave it up and just let somebody else kind of take the reins on it, which I think is pretty cool.
When I was putting these playlists together, we've often talked about how bands, especially with the Chili Peppers, the albums are just too long. And I feel like she could have thrown an extra couple tracks on each of these albums from these, because we've got bonus tracks on every single one of these albums in this playlist, at least. And there's definitely a few that could have made it onto the album that didn't. It's interesting to see it from that perspective, where, you know, the songs got cut, but we still have good recordings of them and still get to listen to them. But I wonder what the decision was, like, why didn't Hardly Wait make it? And why did, you know, a song like Me Jane, which I didn't particularly care for, why did that one make it onto the album? But anyway, up next is the first real big production album. I think the trio's gone. It's just PJ Harvey. It's the album Bring You My Love. It's the song that, if you know PJ Harvey, you know it's Down by the Water. Came out in 95. It was produced by Flood and John Parrish and PJ Harvey. Yes. What do we think about this one?
Well, I love this one. I think this was the best one yet, and by a decent amount. I really like the trio with the other two dudes. I think that works really well, but it does feel like there's a little bit of unshackling, and she can do very different things now, like a variety of things. I also found it interesting that the lyrics are a little more oblique and less specific. There's a real like folklore feel to some of the songs.
Yep. It's nice to be able to listen to the lyrics and not know the exact feelings of what's intended. Because the lyrics in the first two, I mean, they're good lyrics, a lot of them in the first two, but they're very specific and
they're more confrontational too. And
I don't like confrontation.
Yeah. You don't like people yelling at you. Yeah. you want to be the one yelling. That's not even true. I don't know what I'm saying that, but yeah, I thought you get a lot more keyboard. You can hear the past albums, the past sound popping up, but it's less. Because I think I could see someone complaining about a weakness of the songwriting, certainly in the first two albums, is that they tend to be a guitar riff that gets repeated for almost the entire song, and sort of maybe you get a bit of a blues format, or maybe it's just the same riff, and then it slowly builds up, and then it kind of, you know, that's the end of the song. Now, I think that works really well, and I, you know, for because there's so many more interesting things going on in the song, I don't mind the sort of, you could argue, simplistic framework for it. There is a little bit less of that. There's a little bit more variety to sort of to draw you away from that. It simultaneously feels more polished and less polished because it really sets off the less polished sounds when it has like really sort of sleek sounding songs. Like Down by the Water is one of them where you're like it's very sort of more keyboard and interesting percussion sounds in it, and it has those like string, like plucked string flourishes, and you get a little more variety to the sounds. The songs that really jumped out to me were To Bring You My Love, another classic. This song sets the sets the tone for the just to remind you, you're in a PJ Harvey album now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people might be annoyed by the sort of the clipping distorted vocals, you know, that are really pushed, but I think it actually works in this context. I like Meet the Monster. I love that because you either sound like you're very German or you're the Count when you say that title. that sounds more like an older PJ Harvey album. Down by the Water is something new for her for sure. I like that one because that was the first song, maybe not the first PJ Harvey song I ever heard, but certainly the first one I really, really listened to actively.
Absolutely.
I like the sort of nursery rhyme feel to that song, especially at the end. I really liked the flamenco sounding song Send His Love to Me. I just love the sort of juxtaposition of a sort of flamenco percussion and guitar strumming with the PJ Harvey-ness of it. And then and the sort of very full like string productions at the end. And I thought was a really cool song that doesn't actually sound much like PJ Harvey was The Dancer. To me, that sounds like a Portishead song, which is really cool because I like Portishead. But that's another new thing she's trying out. So I thought it's just another expansion, and I thought it was really, really great. Dave, what did you think on this one?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. It's by far the best of the three albums. The only ones I didn't thumbs up, and it wasn't because I didn't enjoy it, you know, I just didn't like them enough, was Teclo and I Think I'm a Mother. And they just didn't quite grab me the way the others do, but yeah, I mean, I could listen to Down by the Water 100 times in a row and be perfectly happy every second of it. I love Come On Billy. I thought that was a great one.
Yep. That one sounds like a folk song, like a traditional folk arrangement or something.
Yeah. Send His Love to Me is great. To Bring You My Love is great. And they're just great songs. And then we've got some more B-sides here. Maniac is phenomenal.
Yes.
One Time Too Many off of the Batman Forever soundtrack is
I was like, so hey, good. I know this one.
I don't know if it's because I know that one from, you know, high school and when I had that album. But that was always one of my favorite tracks from that album. Daddy is interesting.
I could live without Daddy. Daddy related songs, whether it's Red Hot Chili Peppers or PJ Harvey, all seem to be like, I don't know about this.
Well, yeah.
I don't want you chanting Daddy in a childlike way at me. I don't like it. No, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's phenomenal. Zach, what did you think of this one?
So I heard the Down by the Water on the on the radio, and I was like, whoa, what is this? Because mm-hmm. It was so fresh sounding and new sounding and different sounding. And that was what made me buy the album. And just like you guys, it's a real, real banger of an album. Like it's got so many good songs. I like them all. I hear your complaints about Teklo and I think I'm a mother, but I still think they're really good songs.
And just to clarify, I don't think they're bad songs.
Yeah.
They just didn't quite make the mark.
Yeah. And like you were saying, Dan, with the Portishead. Yeah. No, I think she's definitely kind of flirting with trip hop here.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I can hear it on Working for the Man. I can hear it on Down by the Water. Mm. I can hear it on The Dancer.
Yeah.
It's not all the way. It's not like trying to go all the way with it, which I think is really cool because it kind of, she takes the songs and the amazing, beautiful songwriting, and she puts in the instruments to sort of fit the song and fuel what's going on with what she's singing about. And I think for a lot of these, you know, you get the acoustic stuff with like Come On Billy and it feels kind of like a ballad. You get the flamenco stuff with Send His Love to Me, and it just, to me, I hear that mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is one of, you know, this is such an easy hit pop song, because it sounds like, you know, the best thing you could ever hear on the radio without being pretentious and like idiotic, you know? But then she goes off the deep end with, you know, stuff like Meets a Monster with, you know, the really fuzzy guitar tone and to Bring You My Love with the, you know, it's just very, very simplified, but it's very atmospheric. And you've got the, you know, like you said, the overdriven lyrics and stuff. And no, I love this album through and through. And I think it's just amazing what she did with it, what she did with the songwriting and the production. You know, Flood is one of those producers that seems to be on all of the great albums from that era.
Yeah. I feel like he gets out of the way though. Like he offers like expertise without, like you can really hear on the previous album, the Steve Albini, which isn't bad, but Flood, he's on such a variety of albums, and it just, they don't all sound like Flood albums. They just sound great.
Well, whatever he offers, I think it's the key thing, because whether it's the Smashing Pumpkins or and he did Sneaker Pimps as well, he did some earlier.
He's done some U2 also, like, I'm
maybe
pretty
the
sure.
trip hoppy stuff. Yeah, he's done U2, he's done Nine Inch Nails, he's done Depeche Mode, so maybe some of that earlier trip hop stuff or electronic stuff kind of influenced her. But yeah, like you said, it's not like in your face. It's not like this is a Flood album, you know, or this is because when you oftentimes when you hear a Rick Rubin album, you're like, yeah, this is I'm pretty sure this is Rick Rubin. And you know, sometimes it's not, and you're like, oh wait, how is this not Rick Rubin? But most times it is. And but I think with Flood, he gets out of the way and he lets the artist shine, but there's mm-hmm. enough of what he sort of pushes for or exposes to that influences in just the right ways.
Well, I think on that subject, as I look at what albums he's actually been on, like been a producer on for the Pumpkins, you know, he was on Adore, which makes sense because I think he does like to bring in a little bit of that, maybe a little trip hop or electronica sound. There's a long list of actual trip hop and electronica albums he's worked on, but when I look at when he was, you know, producing on a U2 album, it started with Zeuropa and Pop, which are clearly the most electronic versions of that. So I think he does bring that, but these albums don't have a specific sound; they're all very different.
Yeah,
yeah.
He also co-produced Melancholy as well.
Mm, yeah, yep.
He's good at letting the artists who know how to do, who are very good at writing songs, as PJ Harvey clearly is, getting the most out of them. And mm-hmm. it shows because I don't think the first two albums had the full range of what she wanted to, and maybe she wasn't there yet either. Maybe she needed to go through that development, but this is just a perfect execution of her sound. As I know it anyway. And I think Flood is an important part of that, where he facilitated that rather than bringing his sound to the album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the demos, I wanted to ask you guys, do you feel like Maniac is sort of like an early version of Down by the Water?
That's exactly what I wrote down. It sounds like a less polished version of Down by the Water.
Yeah. It definitely has that
vibe. I mean, completely different lyrics. Yeah. But it has the beat and the rhythm. It has the feel of Down by the Water.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I think maybe it got morphed into that song, and the demo just kind of got left beside, because probably they looked at it and she was like, I don't want multiple songs sounding the same. This is a different thing now.
Mm-hmm. I would say the other thing, the other song that reminds me of something, I want to know if you guys can come up with what I came up with. What did you think Darling Be There sounded like? Anything specific?
Nothing came to mind.
You know what came to my mind?
What?
Turtle Dreams by Meredith Monk.
Yes. Yes. I just quick popped it on. Yeah, no, I hadn't put that. I forgot to write that down. But yes, you're absolutely right.
That is exactly that avant-garde flavor.
Yeah, it's the muted keyboard and then like the register that she's singing in.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I think Turtle Dreams is a hilariously fascinating, awful, but somehow maybe, no, it's not good. It's an really interesting song.
If you like that kind of thing, yeah, it might be the, you know, the Stairway to Heaven of that, of that music style. I don't know.
It's really going for it. It's really avant-garde. But weirdly, I find it fascinating without actually liking it. But I found Darling Be There to be like, oh, this, it has most of the stuff that I like from Turtle Dreams without all the pretension. So this is good, you know?
Yeah. On Maniac, Jack and I were going somewhere, I don't know, and it was on. And he says, this sounds like a song that Zach would write and then we'd put into Racer or one of the micro games.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it does kind of have that feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you weren't listening to Maniac, but you were definitely into the PJ Harvey early on, so I'm sure it influenced some of your musical preferences as when you write keyboardy stuff.
Yeah. Most definitely.
All right. Zach, did you have anything else? We kind of jumped in on you on To Bring You My Love. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add.
No, I think we covered everything. I like the Batman Forever song as well.
Oh, so good.
It is really good. That one totally could have been on the album.
Surprised. It's funny to me how how my exposure was like the radio hits and then some of these soundtracks that I ended up buying for some reason, because I liked the movies, and at that time it was kind of an interesting period where soundtracks had a lot of songs that weren't found anywhere else from really popular artists.
Yeah. If you like music from the mid 90s, go get Tank Girl soundtrack or go get the Batman Forever soundtrack. At the end of these episodes, we typically like to talk about which album we liked best and which song we liked best from this.
And if we're ride or die at this point.
Yes. And if we're ride or die at this point. So Dan, what do you think?
Well, I would say I'm ride or die so far. I approved all the songs on Dry and all but Teclo on To Bring You My Love, and then most of the songs on Rid of Me, but like I said, I think that might be a grower. My favorite songs were off of Dry was She Lana Gig, 50 Foot Queenie off of Rid of Me, and man, it's hard not to go with Down by the Water
off so of good.
To Bring You My Love. If it's not the huge hit, the one that I knew the best, I would say it's probably Send His Love to Me. It's very different sounding, but those are my favorites. My favorite album was clearly To Bring You My Love. Zach, what do you think?
To Bring You My Love is also my favorite album of these three. I really like Sheila Nagig on Dry. I like Rid of Me on Rid of Me. And I'd say my top song on To Bring You My Love is Working for the Man.
Okay. Yeah.
And interesting. That one wasn't a highlight for me, but
I'm definitely ride or die at this point.
You know, I think there's a case to be made for all the albums that the first song could be the best song or the most sort of the most PJ Harvey song. But Dave, what did you have on each of the albums and then overall?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Oh My Lover off the first one.
Oh, it's a good one.
I'm dry. Since I can't technically choose Naked Cousin because it didn't appear on the album, but that would be my favorite from that session. From the second one, probably Man Size Sextet. I really enjoyed that one.
Yep.
Maybe Highway 61 Revisited too, though. It's a great cover. I don't like when Bob Dylan does his stuff, but I love when other people do.
Your opinion is wrong. Bob Dylan's version is better in this case, but it is a good cover. I agree.
Bob Dylan is the worst.
Your opinion is wrong.
You're wrong.
Your face is wrong. I hate you.
And Down by the Water is by far my favorite from To Bring You My Love. But if I couldn't pick that one, it'd be Come On Billy. I think that's a phenomenal song too.
That one's good too.
Best album's definitely To Bring You My Love, and I am absolutely ride or die at this point. So yeah, up next, in a couple of weeks, we'll be doing the next one, and that is going to consist of, we decided to throw in the John Parrish and PJ Harvey collab albums too. So up next, we've got the Dance Hall at Louse Point, and then Is This Desire, and Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea. If you like this podcast, you can find everything we do on 64tacos.com. And if you really liked it, go to buymeacoffee.com/64tacos and buy us a taco. Thanks for listening.
I caught it on audio.